welcome to Too Much Scrolling for January 3rd, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. It's January 2017, Chip. We survived another year.
2017. I'm going to have to remember that because
it's the future.
I'm going to be writing 2016 probably for the entire month.
Do you still write checks? Is there still a paper check that you write out and hand to a clerk in a shop?
No. But every once in a while, I have to put down the date on something. And it's one of those challenges. It's like, oh, yes, the year has gone by. 2016 has passed. The Grim Reaper has served notice.
Oh, boy.
And then we have this year.
And now we're here. We started at the bottom, and now we're here. It brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. I got a chance to see a movie that opened this week, Chip.
Now, that's pretty amazing, because Steve, like during most of the year, is busy with school.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really get the chance to do a lot of those things. It's usually following those.
And then Christmas hits, and I get to watch all kinds of movies. There's actually 10 different titles on my list that I've watched since we spoke last Tuesday.
Steve's eyes are bloodshot. He has not seen sunlight.
I've caught up with a lot of things, but I did make it out to the theater, and my wife and I went to go see Fences.
Fences has got Denzel Washington.
This is Denzel Washington's movie. He directed it and he stars in it. Viola Davis is the female lead. And my God, Chip, this movie has the best acting I've seen on screen in years.
No, so this is based on a play.
Correct.
Tell me about it, because I have a lot of interest in seeing this.
You would really enjoy this movie. This is a play written in 1983 by August Wilson. It won the Pulitzer in 1987 when it was on Broadway. It is a brilliant piece of writing. That's where we have to start with this conversation, is the words are amazing. But secondly, the acting. The way that these people say these words is captivating.
So what's the story about?
It's a story of an African-American man in Pittsburgh in 1956, actually. And he is he's bitter about a lot of things in life. He's in his 50s. He's looking back upon his chances that he had and how he made it to where he is today. And he's frustrated by his position in life in a lot of ways. He has a young son. He's in high school, and the young son wants to play football. And Denzel Washington's character, the father here, doesn't think that that's the right choice for his son, that his son needs to use his time and find a trade because he's not going to be successful in football.
Well, the father was a baseball player.
That's right.
And so the son wants to play football, and obviously baseball had a lot of fans at the time. Football was just kind of coming in its own. Yeah, it certainly wasn't the game on the level it is today as far as spectators and all that other stuff.
Right. The father was a part of the Negro Leagues, though.
Okay.
So that's a whole nother twist on this, is he was a very successful player in those leagues, but he never made it into the major leagues, and he's very bitter about this.
He wants to be Jackie Robinson, right?
Well, Jackie Robinson is a part of this story. He does say that he knows Jackie Robinson, and Jackie Robinson is not a good player. Not nearly as good as he is.
We all like to think we are the best in our minds, and that's an athlete's mindset
That's true.
Because if you think of Michael Jordan and how he approached the game, you recognize that his mindset was on a totally different level as far as competition, and the people he was playing, they had their mind. Well, they thought it was on the same level or higher.
Mm-hmm.
So the physical game is one thing, but the mental game and what it takes to win is something else.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's having a hard time coming to grips with the competition.
Yep.
And what, what chance gives you on that.
This is a great story. I'm not going to ruin too much of it for you, but it is a gritty story about a guy who is doing the things that he needs to do to be the family man. It's a story about fathers and sons. So I
look forward to seeing this.
I loved this movie.
This seems like it's going to be ready for Father's Day.
This is, well, yeah. This is a title that will bring a tear to your eye because of the the amazing acting, this real gritty existence that Denzel Washington puts into this. This is maybe not the movie of the year. It might not win the Oscar, but the acting, I really believe that this might be the best acting of 2016.
Now, you got to see some lighter things too, right?
Yeah, I did get to dial into a lot of the 2016 films that I didn't get a chance to see.
The children's movies.
Well, let's go with family. These are family movies. These are not necessarily children's films. I got to see The Secret Life of Pets.
Was that good?
I enjoyed that very much.
Very funny.
I'm a big fan of Louis C.K. and his brilliant observations about our existence in the 21st century, and I like the fact that all of the different voices are available to us in animated films like this.
And this is obviously about the humans go to work and they leave their pets alone for the day.
And they have adventures.
Oh, yes.
And it's a great adventure. It's a fun adventure. I also got to see the Angry Birds movie, which
is like the latest phase. It's coming right there with Pet Rocks, I think, are coming back.
Yeah, the Angry Birds.
And the smiley face t-shirt. You never know. Could be coming right back.
That's right. Angry Birds was such a hot property that somebody said, ooh, we got to make a movie. And they were right. It was such a hot property. They needed to make a movie. Unfortunately, because they made an animated movie, it took 3 years to come out with this film. This is not a bad movie.
The California Raisins movie, I think, comes up next year, I think it is. Right. Or a couple years from now.
The live action version. Yes. The Disney live action version is coming up. The Angry Birds movie is not a bad movie.
That's why Netflix is available. You can go watch it.
It's on Netflix right now. You can go find it right now and take a look at it.
Now, you got to see one I wanted to see this summer, but somehow it slipped through my fingers.
Speaking of those Disney making live action versions of animated classics, this is the Jungle Book live action that came out in the summer. It's also available on Netflix. Jon Favreau is one of my favorite directors working right now. He directed this. It is well directed. All of the feels from the original cartoon are in this. Mm-hmm. Bill Murray is Baloo the Bear. Yes. Bill Murray is not a singer. So when you get to the Baloo song, which is one of my favorite songs in the original, it's got that Bill Murray lounge singer style to it. And it's groovy. It's fine. It's not the same. But it's Bill Murray.
Sure.
And here in Chicago, Bill Murray is an icon.
I had a very Murray Christmas.
That's a fun one on Netflix as well. I didn't watch that this year. I watched that last year. But yeah. Boy, that's a fun one too. Jungle Book live action, I recommend. I finally got a chance to see Star Trek Beyond.
You were pining to see it. Chris Pine.
Chris pining to see it. Yes, it was. This is a good movie. This is a strong science fiction movie. Mm-hmm. Simon Pegg wrote this knowing that he was a little bit frustrated by the area of science fiction that is that pop culture, popcorn science fiction. He Sure. wanted to write something that was a little darker, a little stronger. This is a slightly darker, slightly stronger Star Trek story. It's really good.
How did you watch this?
This one I actually bought a copy from Google mm-hmm. because Google was offering some end of the year deals on some of their digital downloads. Amazon did some of those as well at the end of the year. I think we have a future where we're going to get some discounts on some of this material.
Okay.
Instead of buying a DVD at $28 at Walgreens.
It'll be interesting to know, and certainly I don't want to go too deep in this, whether you own it or the right to use it. Kind of like with the DRM free, which I'm obviously digital rights management. I think I'm going in an area that we don't want to go too deeply.
Yeah, you don't own any of this material.
You own the right to watch it.
Even when you own a CD, you do not own the material on the CD.
There you go.
Yeah, there's some depth to that conversation. Let's not go there.
But we had a couple deaths this week. You got to also watch the Saturday Night Live appearance of Carrie Fisher from 1978. Where did you watch that?
Yeah, that's on Hulu right now. You can go to Hulu and see all the Saturday Night Live back catalog. I'm still a fan of Saturday Night Live. I still watch it a lot. But boy, 1978. Saturday Night Live was a whole different beast.
All right, so Star Wars came out in 77.
Correct.
And it was blowing up at that time. In fact, it was probably still in theaters at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But Carrie Fisher obviously was trying to find other work. she ended up working on the Blues Brothers, and that's how she got on as the host of this show.
Lauren Michaels is great at finding talent and finding a way to get talent into his spot so that he can use that talent. And Carrie Fisher.
And she was the crazy girlfriend in the Blues Brothers.
She was the crazy girlfriend in the Blues Brothers.
She showed up with a gun.
That's right. That's one of my favorite movies. We've never talked about the Blues Brothers on this show. Blues Brothers is quite possibly my number one favorite movie of all time.
Left at the altar by John Belushi. Right. And then, you know, he had some things that came up. He had friends come in from out of town.
There was a fire, a terrible flood. I love that film. That is a tight comedy.
He kisses her and then drops her in the mud.
Let's go.
And that's where, right before the scene where they've got a pack of cigarettes.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a half a tank of gas, a full pack of cigarettes. It's dark out and we're wearing sunglasses.
Exactly.
Hit it. Good. Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't talked about the Blues Brothers. That is, my Halloween costume throughout the 80s was one or the other of the Blues Brothers, depending on if
Jake
I was the tall
Elwood.
One or the fat one at the time, depending on who my
the
partner
Laurel
was.
Or the Laurel or the Hardy.
Right. In my senior yearbook, my picture in my senior yearbook, there's my regular senior picture, and then on the same page is a picture of me in my Blues Brothers outfit with a harmonica.
There you go.
That was one of my skinny years. I was the Elwood. I was the Elwood that year. Dan Aykroyd proposed to Carrie Fisher on the set of the Blues Brothers in 1980.
In fact, did they ever marry?
They never did marry. They dated for years, but they never actually married. But it goes to that whole conversation that we're about to have about Carrie Fisher and that incestuous Hollywood lifestyle.
Well, there you go. We'll come back
to
this.
We'll get back to that. I watched a bunch of other movies. There were lots of movies on TV. I watched the Hudsucker Proxy. I watched two Muppet movies, The Great Muppet Caper from 1981 and the Jason Segel, The Muppets from 2011. And God, if it didn't make me cry again.
Yes.
That movie is...
Well, it's a fun movie.
It's a love letter from somebody born in the mid-70s to the Muppets. It gets me every time. What did you get a chance to see this week?
Well, I've been very busy. And because of that, I've been running around basically at my children's beck and call. But anyway, I got to watch Hip Hop Evolution on Netflix. Now, this originally aired on HBO. It's basically a series on the rise of hip hop, on sort of the art that it created. So we're getting interviews from the original DJs, the innovators. One of my favorite conversations on there was Grandmaster Flash. And he was talking a little bit about where he came in and how he changed, how hip hop was put together. I would pair this up that earlier last year we had a movie that we reviewed about synthesizers and about during the same time over in England that they were playing around with synthesizers and creating music, and that ultimately Depeche Mode and Joy Division and New Order and stuff like that all came from these sounds. This one had to do with, you know, sort of an American experience. And Grandmaster Flash talks a little bit about where previously, the first DJ used the breaks. And the breaks are where the drums are kind of playing, like, and basically they would loop those over and over and over. And maybe we didn't really get rap over that time, but how that changed music, and that how Grandmaster Flash started using crayons to mark the albums up so he could move from one to the other and basically create his music. And I love this. The story talked a little bit about how jazz began, where they took the saxophone, which was part of an orchestra at the time, and they created the pop music from that, and that was the beginning of jazz, and how the African-American community took the turntable and made that an instrument, and how that kind of plays out. Now, this moves all the way up through the 90s, and we get all these beautiful interviews about this, and there's such a rich culture and the move from it, and the move from the B-boys, who were kind of the outsiders, those were the breakdancers of the time, and they weren't really allowed in the discos where everybody's dressed up. Oh, man, it's just a fun little journey through a period of time that I was sort of on the outside, but I was very aware of, and it's influenced the world.
And we're finally far enough away from that where we have a history collected that we can look back upon. This is 40 years that we're talking about this movement of hip hop and how it's changed everything, including Broadway musicals.
Well, my kids were thinking Iggy Azalea would be a good person. Mm-hmm. You know, she is from a small town in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And this music inspired her to basically create her own. Anyway, this is a beautiful series. I highly encourage it. You can really get in touch with some of the changes that happen on. And these guys, they're not going to be around forever. So it's good to get the stories.
So that one's called Hip Hop Evolution. It's on Netflix. You can find it in our show notes. Opening this week, we got some good movies. Again, some of these have already opened very small theaters around the country so that they can get in for their Oscar nominations.
But this is for their, this is the general release.
Their wide release. The first one's called Hidden Figures. This one intrigues me. I've looked at these commercials and I really want to read this book. This is based on a true story, a team of African-American women who did the math to make NASA work, make those rockets get into space and to safely get those astronauts back from this adventure. It's based on a book by Margot Lee Shatterly, and I've decided that I'm going to see this movie before I read this book. Sometimes you read the book first and then you get frustrated by the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be frustrated on this one. I think this is a great story, and I really want to do some deep analysis after I've seen it.
Well, this sounds like a great story because what it is that hidden history
mm-hmm.
that we just don't know about. And then we have a person who goes, hey, I'm going to do a little research on this. And then they bring it out to the public. You go, oh, wow, this is pretty interesting.
It's amazing that it's hidden.
So anyway, we've got this group of women who basically were the backbone of many of the things NASA was doing at the time. And we get a little bit about their story. How wonderful.
Seems like a great movie. I hope that it's as good as my expectations are. I believe it will be. There's another one opening this week. It's called A Monster Calls. This is, your boy figures out that he wants to have something happen. He wishes for it, and a monster comes from the woods and makes it happen for him.
A tree monster. All right. So this is a young person's movie,
mm-hmm.
maybe a family movie.
Yep.
And I look forward to seeing this. I'll probably end up seeing it through Netflix or some kind of streaming service.
Yeah, I don't think this is one that I will necessarily make it to the theaters to see, but it's an intriguing story. We've heard these stories before. A young mm-hmm. boy works with monster of some sort and achieves goal.
Sure. And we're
talking like Cookie Monster now.
Now we have another family movie out this week, too.
Yeah, Lost and Found. This one stars Cary Elwes, who we know from
The Princess Bride.
The Princess Bride, mainly. That's his main claim to fame.
Among any other things.
He's done lots of other stuff. But Men in Tights. Men in Tights was not one of my favorites. But he's done lots of other things, but everybody knows him from The Princess Bride. This is an interesting adventure.
As you wish.
This one's an interesting adventure. A bunch of kids need to find the treasure, and they're riding their bikes to go find it. You know, it's very Spielberg, very Goonies. I look forward to this one.
I do too. And as soon as it comes on, you know, either rental or streaming or something, I'm going to end up watching this. It looks like a good family type of movie.
Yeah.
So very nice.
Yeah. Brings us to our book of the week, and Carrie Fisher. Unfortunately did not survive 2016. She gets put on the list of all of the stars that we lost in 2016. And as a result, what I do often when somebody passes away, somebody that I don't know, but I feel like I know these stars.
You've ignored all those years.
Yeah, I go through and review some of their material in honor of them. So I decided to pick up Wishful Drinking. This has been on my list for years. It came out in 2008. It's Carrie Fisher's autobiography.
Now, did you read this or did you do the audio?
I picked up the audiobook so that Carrie Fisher herself could tell me this story.
I picked up the audiobook too
mm-hmm.
because she is the narrator.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the story she based on her, was it a Broadway play?
Yeah, this was a stage play first.
Okay.
And then she wrote it down as a book second. And then she read that book to us third. So this is really her story.
The cover is Princess Leia with her head down on the bar,
right,
with a martini,
with a drink. Carrie Fisher was a character. There's no doubt. After reading this book, I know a lot more about her, and I.
Well, she's the daughter of Debbie Reynolds,
right,
and Eddie Fisher,
right.
Fisher ended up leaving the family because
Hollywood.
She fell for Elizabeth Taylor, who eventually dumped him for her co-star in Cleopatra,
right?
And there's your beginning part. Yeah. It seems like that there's a couple parts of the story. One, you get a little bit of the insight of her young adult life, and she seemed to be a friend to. I mean, all the hot people of the day. I mean, she dated Paul Simon and married him. It sounds like she was throwing parties. George Harrison's there. Eric Clapton's there. You know, who's who of anybody is at these events.
Right.
Because if you are in California, you may not be able to go out, so you end up finding places. And it seems like that Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher were the anchors of sort of a place to go and hang out.
Yeah, they certainly had some parties.
And they were fun people. You get a little insight of her youth, like being young and what it's like to be young to a Hollywood star.
Hollywood royalty. I mean, she was a princess before she became Leia, because these two people who were her parents were very, very big stars.
Sure, but I mean, he wasn't part of her picture. And what you got is some background on what it was like to be a kid to Debbie Reynolds. I mean, she talks about that it was mom, and then mom would go into the closet, put on the makeup, and come out as movie star.
Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah, and this was a different persona. And then she would come home, and then she would take up all the makeup and jump in the bubble bath or whatever, and she was back at being mom again.
Mom was a different person from superstar.
So that part seemed very everyday America, the way they were describing it. She describes running around through the home and not being able to touch anything. They really only felt comfortable in the kitchen, of all places. And then we get a little bit about her, at least at the very beginning, she wants to say, hey, listen, I'm bipolar, and I had some
electroshock therapy.
And basically, she can't remember her past.
Right.
And so this must have been a way to try to piece it together as a story.
Yeah. It's not a happy story, this story of Carrie Fisher's life. You know, from the outside, we're looking at it thinking, wow, we want to be rich and famous. We want to be these amazing stars. But she had a lot of suffering in there. And this mental health part, when she brings up all of her mental health issues, hopefully what will happen as a result of her passing is we will focus more on the issues of mental health around us.
Well, I don't disagree there. I think that she was very open with it. Like Debbie Reynolds, her mother was old school Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Everything is leave it to Bieber family. We all smile. It's always happy. And we are a perfect person.
Unit. Yeah.
Okay. Carrie Fisher is much more of the 70s. And we are getting to the gritty. And I'm real. And let me go ahead and just let it all hang out. And, you know, there's no tabloid stuff here because I'm the tabloid. I'll
explain everything to you. Yeah, you're right.
And so you get this dynamic of how Hollywood changed. I don't know if people really want to be that open anymore.
Right. But
definitely Carrie Fisher was. And her mom, Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher, were best of friends.
Yeah.
And they talk about that. They lived next door to each other.
For decades.
Oh, yes.
And you can imagine what that would be like.
Through affairs, through marriages, through all sorts of stuff. I don't necessarily need to live in their life. I think Carrie Fisher would be a fun person to hang out with once in a while because I think she'd have fun stories. And it seems like she's around smart people who have fun stories.
Mm-hmm.
So you get some insights on that part. And she likes to be challenged intellectually. But because of that, I mean, she also, because of her mental illness, she talks about her marriage with Paul Simon basically Paul Simon was like, I can't deal with this.
Yeah.
I'm out of here. This is too crazy.
Right.
And I don't think he was abandoning her. I think that she was not willing to accept that she had challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that she, this is from her point of view, right, talking about it. This is not Paul Simon. She's speaking like I'm Paul Simon, and Paul's looking at me going, hey, you need to get help. And she says, no, I don't. Here, let me take some drugs zone out.
The conversations about drugs in this book are deep. The fact that Cary Grant was a person in her
Cary
life.
Grant.
And Cary Grant called her on the phone and said, you have to stop with the drugs. And it's a fascinating story.
Well, and think about his age. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had to be older than Debbie Reynolds.
Right.
Probably by a good 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
So even, I mean, and that would be like grandpa calling, mm-hmm, and saying, hey.
Really famous, handsome grandpa. Yeah. To be on the phone, the conversation, to be on the phone with Cary Grant. I watched
Bishop
Wife.
It's like the angel coming. Right. The angel came to me and said, this is the come to Jesus moment.
Yes. It's a great story. It's sad to see her go, especially so young. 60 is really young.
Oh my goodness. 60 is nothing.
But the 60, lifestyle 60 that she lived. 60
is the new 40.
The 60 years that she lived, there were some hard times. She did a lot of drugs.
Well, I think there may be something there. I mean, and certainly we don't. It doesn't take too much to read into that. But if you treat your body so poorly,
mm-hmm,
it just seems like that. You know, we're seeing a lot of people drop off. There are rumors they're going around about George Michael, mm-hmm, and potentially drugs having an impact of his passing away. Prince, it looks like that he had an mm-hmm addiction to painkillers. He passes away. These are people who are certainly way too young. But, you know, I can't say what the entertainment industry does to your body also.
Right.
Because could you imagine, she died or had her heart attack jet setting to me at some meeting or some event to promote her book.
Right.
You know, that's got to take a toll just being on the go all the time too.
Absolutely. There's no question that it's a go-go lifestyle, and drugs sometimes help with that go-go-go feeling. And boy, your heart is really not prepared for that. And it's sad to see Carrie Fisher go, even more sad that her mother died within, mm-hmm, what, 30 hours?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, it's like the next day they're going to be buried together. It's going to be a private ceremony. And they haven't talked about whether they're going to be public ceremonies yet.
Right.
So anyway, I'm so glad that you said we're going to read this, mm-hmm, and I'm glad we got through it. If you got interest in a short presentation.
That's the nice part about this audiobook. It is Cary Fisher reading it, and it's about 3 hours long.
And what I caught from this by seeing all the videos that people are posting about Cary Fisher is that many of these scenes that she is describing in this book, she's playing out. In fact, the roast of George Lucas, mm-hmm, she's playing one of these scenes that she wrote out in this book.
Yeah, this was a stage play first, then she wrote it, then she read it to us.
George Lucas owns her like this, and she sends him a check every time she checks the mirror.
Every time she looks in the mirror, she has to pay George Lucas. That's why George Lucas is rich. I love that line. I don't know if she wrote that or if somebody else wrote it for her, but that is a fantastic image of we're in a place now where her image can be used in movies, even though she's passed away.
If I haven't convinced you to read this yet or listen to it, there is a story where she describes a guy in her bed,
mm-hmm,
who passed away.
Passed away.
And she goes, well, what can I say? And she's got to discover. It wasn't her husband. It was just a friend.
It was just a friend who just died.
And she describes why this friend was in her bed versus, uh-huh, the other friends who were visiting.
Right. She was a great storyteller. This is a great story. I do recommend it. It's called Wishful Drinking. It's available on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Grab a cocktail and dig in.
That's right. Brings us to our appetite, our app of the week. And boy, you know, 2016 was full of news stories. 2017 promises to be full of other news stories, depending on what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
Nobody knows the future. Oh, we should probably write that down and really understand that and take that to heart.
That's right.
because so many people think they know the future, but until it reveals itself, right?
That's right. So
that's the reason why we have breaking news, and we need to know it right then. What happens?
I don't know that we need to know it right then, but boy, we feel like we need to know it right then, don't we? I've been using the NBC Breaking News app for years now.
And I've never used it.
I love this service that NBC has been putting out for years. Unfortunately, they haven't been able to make money with it, and they closed down shop on New Year's Eve at midnight. The moment that it turned 2017, this is no longer a part of my lifestyle.
So Steve's devastated, and I never even knew it existed.
Well, there are so many sources of news.
Absolutely.
There are so many different sources. I enjoy, in my lifestyle, talking to students in class, when my smartwatch buzzes and there's some important, critical, urgent piece of news coming through.
Carrie Fisher has passed away.
Celebrities dying, earthquakes, fires, floods, things that maybe need to be action moments for me, especially when I'm in the middle of teaching a group of students. Maybe it's a cultural moment that I need to bring to light for them. I've enjoyed this app very much. Without it, I'm going to not have a screen up with news during class. That doesn't make sense to me.
No, you'll have to find another source of news. What are you considering?
So I took a look at a couple of different apps this week. CNN, Fox News, NPR, the Associated Press, and the BBC all have apps with notifications.
Not Russia Today?
I did not check out the RT app. I did not check out the Al Jazeera app. I stuck with these. And I think...
You need some propaganda in your life.
Well, all of these have a perspective. There's no doubt that every one of these apps, every one of these news agencies have a perspective, and we're only getting the news of the perspective of that company. There's no question about that. I think the one that I've landed on is the Associated Press. Mm-hmm. I think that that's the app that's going to give me the notifications on the most critical, urgent pieces of news more often than Fox News or CNN.
Wait. You know, we talked about this as we were preparing, and I, of course, wrote my response to this, because I don't use any of those apps for news. In fact, I don't think I use my phone for that way, other than having some apps to open up. So, you know, I may every once in a while I'd open up the Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. But really, I try to get my news from multiple sources. Mm-hmm. And so, I use the Wall Street Journal app. And I use the Washington Post app because with Amazon Prime membership, you get 6 months of that free. And I think mine is up maybe February. And at that point, I'm gonna cancel and just kind of play around. I don't know if I'm going to try the New York Times for a period of time or the Chicago Tribune for a little while. But I feel like I need a couple of sources that I can get into as opposed to the free stuff. Like, you can get an article or two a month from many of these newspapers, mm-hmm. but you're there too much, and then pretty soon they block you out and say, hey, subscribe.
Because they need to make money on this. That's why breaking news is going away, because they couldn't make money on it.
But I look at, you know, NPR, Bloomberg, Cranes, and CBS Marketplace. Those are sites that I check out because professionally most of the time. And I'm reading stuff because I have to be abreast of what's really going on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously, how much news can I get in a day? I tend to stay away from Fox and CNN just because I feel that, you know, not that I couldn't get some general news there, but they get so into other stuff. And sometimes I just need what's kind of going on. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I do that. And if you follow our Facebook page, which feeds into our Twitter, you're usually getting an idea of sort of, when it deals with not my professional stuff, but my just sort of the stuff you have at the cooler where we're sitting around talking.
That's your water cooler.
Yeah. I mean, I work by myself many, many days.
So you can stand by the water cooler and say to nobody, or you can post it on the Facebook page and get it out to all of us.
Well, things that have interest that we usually talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, there's technology stuff or there's some entertainment stuff.
And anytime you find something about Doctor Who, you post it because you think that that's important to me.
Steve wants to see anything with Doctor Who.
Anything with Doctor Who.
Exactly.
Or Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Well, Star Wars.
In fact, when we learned that Carrie Fisher passed away, mm-hmm. the number of people who came to our page and looked at that story was so far...
Mm-hmm. She was beloved.
I mean, it was so large compared to what we usually get as readership for a single article.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty amazing that it would... In fact, it tracked through any time I would find something and we would post it. That trend continued. Not on that level, but mm-hmm. I mean, it was pretty amazing that had such... had stickiness to yeah. it. Where we get most of our articles have, a certain group of people will go in and kind of check it out. And we get things that are bigger than others, but certainly not on the level of that.
Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars.
Star Wars is a cultural imprint on the world.
Absolutely. No question about that. So I'm going to try out some different apps. I'm going to try in 2017 to get a little wider scope of my news.
Sure. The weakness for all this is... tends to be international news.
Yes.
And trying to figure out where the United States fits into it so that you're not getting so much we don't get just the American news section on this, mm-hmm. which I think is so light that we really don't really get a true understanding of what's going on.
Yeah.
And then trying to stay away from the propaganda. We used Russian Times, RT, as our example,
mm-hmm.
where it's so much propaganda on that, you got to wade through it to figure out, is that
what's
real?
What's the real story?
So, I don't know, looking at the BBC or a Canadian news site, going through a few different sites to try to figure out, our international presence. That seems to be the weakness as I've seen it, in the news.
And the local news is just... out. I'm done. I don't watch the local news anymore. They just don't cover...
Chicago Rising, man.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey. It's almost National Enquirer-ish.
Yeah. We're getting to the point where the news is much more about celebrity than it is about actual substance.
And every once in a while, there's a story here. Maybe we get through CBS 60 Minutes type thing. You get the investigative reporting. But, we're so much luckier to have Vox and all those other new upstarts
mm-hmm.
because, long form is where we can get some real ideas, some real ways of looking at stuff.
Right. So if you have any ideas for us, if you want to give me your perspective on the news apps, send us an email, give us a voicemail, and I'd be interested to hear what our audience thinks about their news sources. And you can always go to our Facebook page and use our news sources that Chip is always putting together something interesting for us. So check that out.
A great place to waste time. What can I say?
Facebook. A great place to waste time. I think that's about right.
Zuckerberg's been going that way in a long time.
Yeah, that's about right. So... we're here. It's 2017. We have the sadness of Carrie Fisher and her mother, Debbie Reynolds, both passing away in a short amount of time. The future still looks bright for 2017, though.
Tell me of some good news.
The robots are coming, Chip.
The robot uprising is coming.
That's the good news.
We've come to help you.
There was a very interesting moment that I was watching TV this week, and I saw the footage of this Tesla that was driving on autopilot, and it stopped before an accident happened to another vehicle. It's amazing to watch how these sensors noticed that something bad was going to happen, took action before somebody else had an accident.
Steve, it's like having your own R2 unit in your automobile.
What do you think about this, R2? And R2 goes, yeah, you should stop because that's just bad. That's just bad news up ahead.
All of a sudden, you're going to have a Star Wars personality thrown into the robot. It's gonna be like C-3PO.
You know that I have an R2-D2 in the car already, right? The USB R2-D2 is in the car. Yeah.
Why does she get a blaster and I don't get a blaster?
I love Star Wars. One of the other robots in my life is my Google Home that's in my house and has a microphone recording everything that I do, which is frightening and wonderful at the same time. The Amazon Echo...
which is the competitor to it.
Which came out first, but may not be superior, but that's all right.
There was a murder in Arkansas, mm-hmm. right? And basically, the police department has said, hey, listen, we don't know if this would help, but could you give us the recordings from the Echo?
Because there might be some piece of evidence on there that might help us in this investigation.
Very similar to the Apple case earlier last year
with the iPhone.
Yes, yeah. And basically Amazon has said no, we're not doing that.
Right.
So this will be another thing to watch. If you add a Google Home or an Amazon Echo, you already have a cell phone recording everything you do. Now all you need is like a Terminator unit hanging out with you all the time.
1984 was only off by about 20 years. Cameras are everywhere.
I'm going to start rewriting the news. That'll be my job.
And the cameras might be a good thing in a lot of cases.
Are cameras a good thing?
In some cases, they certainly can help solve crime.
So let me ask you, if I was in an ATM and I was pulling some money out and somebody came up behind me, this is actually a real story. We saw the video. There's a gentleman who steals a wallet. He comes up behind him. The gentleman at the ATM, he pulls the gentleman's wallet out. And then looks around and then notices there's a camera up there. Who saw him?
And then feels bad about it and expresses his sadness to the camera.
Well, I mean, the question is, does he feel bad about it because the camera saw him? But anyway, the whole time he's putting his hands together.
Do you feel guilty because you get caught, or do you feel guilty because you did something wrong? That's a whole nother question that we deal with at school all the time.
Well, my argument is going to be that he knew he got caught, and so he's like begging for forgiveness
to the camera.
Oh yes, he's like, please, listen here. And so the response to this, he throws the wallet on the ground beside the guy, and then taps the gentleman to tell him that his wallet.
Hey, you dropped your wallet.
Oh.
Look at that.
Oh, my goodness.
For my next trick.
Oh, my goodness.
This is an interesting time. There's so many potential wonderful things that the robots are going to do for us, and there's so many things where the surveillance is frightening and potentially could be hazardous to us.
Okay, so if you're Amazon,
yes,
and you have big blimps above the city or
now,
something.
Now, this is just an idea that Amazon has proposed. They've not actually gone ahead with this
idea. And they have drones.
They have drones and blimps, and if they had a
blimp humanity
in the air full of all of the things that they think humanity's going to want at any given time.
Steve needs an apple.
And they fly down, whatever it is, out of the blimp, a warehouse in the sky. Wow.
It's the benevolent blimp.
The benevolent blimp that brings you bagels. There's alliteration there somewhere.
All right, so that's kind of a dream, but there is a test right now.
Yes.
In 10 different cities with a robot.
Where a robot can bring your groceries to your front door, especially.
But Steve doesn't want groceries. Steve wants
beer. This is a beer robot.
A beer robot.
Hey, beer bot, come over here.
It's the Duff bot.
The Duff bots. This is a great story. The future is wide open, and it's got so many.
It's going to bring beer. They're going to test it in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And they're testing it in Redwood, California, and 10 other cities. And it can bring you beer.
Ring the doorbell. Would you like a beer?
It's going to be Barney's voice from The Simpsons.
Hey, Homer, you want a beer?
With a burp.
It's great. This is great. I love where we're at with the future of all this technology and what could be.
So with that, robots are good.
Robots are good.
You should
absolutely not kick the robots. Please, everybody, please don't anger the robots.
Why does she get a blaster and I don't get a blaster? Little Rogue One humor there.
That's right. All right, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week.
I think so. I think the robots will let us for one more week. One more.
That's right. They only give us a week by week notice.
By week notice, and then the robot shows up at your front door and it doesn't have a beer anymore.
That's right. The Echo is turned off.
If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find it. Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. Find all that news that got aggregated for you and find out what you need to know from that perspective. It'll be fine. Don't worry. 2017 will be fine.
We will survive.
That's
the
right.
Robots will ensure that.
I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflow.
We'll see you in the future.